Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? About to start a new semester. Glory to God. Final semester. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. We're going to begin with the word of prayer. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that as we embark on this final semester for the second year students here, Lord God, at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Lord God, that each student, Father God, gets what they need, Lord God, that Father God, you reinforce and equip them, Lord God, with everything that they need, that they will be productive in their spiritual endeavors for you, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're going to do this semester, Lord God. And it's not going to be the end, but Lord God, it's going to be the beginning of more and more adventures in you, Lord God, that they're going to take what they have learned and begin to walk in it, begin to apply it, Lord God, begin to see the manifestation take place in their lives, Lord God. So, Father, we just give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle over the school, the school of ministry here, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that he's our visionary. And Father God, we just thank you right now for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we just thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up and manifesting yourself in this place. For if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I just yield completely and totally to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today's lesson, we're going to be talking about Noah and his three sons. And if you kind of want a reference point in your book, somewhere around page 75, where it talks about Noah and his three sons. But I want to begin by reading some passages of scripture from Genesis concerning Noah and his three sons in the Bible. It says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fish of the sea, unto your hands they are delivered." So here we see God has given Moses a mandate. We know that Noah. God used Noah to repopulate the earth. God tells Noah to be fruitful and to multiply, to replenish the earth. So Noah and his three sons, if you look at verse 7, this is Genesis 9 and 7, it says, "And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein." So here, God gives Noah, reinforcing his mandate to be fruitful and to multiply, to bring forth abundantly in the earth, to multiply therein. That's Genesis chapter 9 and verse 7. And then we're going to look over now in Genesis chapter 9, verse 19. He says, "These are the three sons of Noah, and of these was the whole earth overspread," or repopulated. It says in Genesis 20, "And Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not the nakedness of their father. And Noah woke," this is verse 24, "and Noah woke from the wine and knew what the younger son had done unto him, and said, Cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall ye be upon his brethren." Verse 26, "And he blessed," I might have to just turn this thing completely off, okay. Verse 26, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord of Shem, and Cana shall be thy servant. And God enlarged Japheth, and said, Ye shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Cana shall be thy servant." So here now we see God gives Moses a mandate to repopulate the earth after the earth was flooded with water. And he gives him this mandate One of the things about a mandate from God is that that should be the centermost thing focused on your mind. If God gives you an assignment, if your man of God gives you an assignment, that should, everything else should take secondary, and it should take precedent. It's so easy to get involved and to let something come in that's going to be a sideline or something that's going to come in and cause you not to completely fulfill what the assignment that you're given. One of the things I've learned that when I receive an assignment from my apostle, I put everything that I have into it because I see that as being God speaking to me. When you know your pastor or your spiritual father, for those who are online, those people that you submit to spiritually, when they give you an assignment, you have to see, because you got to recognize they're hearing from God and they're operating under delegated authority. So when they speak, you need to see that as God speaking to you through them and take it personally. Don't take it haphazardly. That's so very important that we understand that. Let me just reiterate some things right here. Noah was given a mandate from God to repopulate the earth or to have dominion over the earth. And that was very similar to the same mandate that God told Adam. You know, he told Adam and Eve, he says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That was the mandate God told Adam and Eve to do. God's desire was always to have a people that's going to obey and that's going to serve him. He wanted a people that was going to worship him and people walking in obedience. So here again, a second time, God has given a servant the mandate to repopulate the earth. The Bible says that Noah began to be a husbandman or a gardener, and he planted a vineyard which has grapes in it and made wine and became inebriated or intoxicated or drunk and lost focus of his God-given purpose and became uncovered in his tent. One of the things that you have to be very careful of is not to be sidetracked. When God blesses you and gives you an assignment, he's going to always equip you and anoint you to do that assignment. But that equipping and that anointing is for that particular assignment and really nothing else. You know, it's very easy to get sidetracked. It's very easy to lose focus and start doing something that God didn't speak or that your man of God didn't ordain you or give you instruction to do. And even though you are anointed and you may experience success, it's not what God ordained. The Bible says that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So except the Lord give that assignment and you carry it out. Let me give you an example. Some 26, maybe 27 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me, son, this is where you need to be. I came to a service invited by some friends of ours, and the Lord spoke to me clear and plain. And since that time, there's always been something else that would try to sidetrack me and cause me to move in different directions. Things that might have even been very enticing, very welcoming, and all of them were good adventures in the things of God, but it wasn't the mandate that God told me to do. And I had to stay focused because it was so easy. When God told me to follow the apostle, just like Elijah and Elijah, Elijah said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. You know, I'm going to have to turn this off. Anybody knows how to turn off a, yeah, okay, go ahead. Okay, it's about 2 weeks old and I'm still, my learning curve is still slow. Just cancel it for me. Okay, that's fine, okay, appreciate it. All right. I had the Apple before and I had it down packed because I had it for about 5 or 6 years, so I stepped up and so I'm in a learning curve, praise God. But anyway, During that time frame, as I stated, there was always things that would try to sidetrack you and try to get you to lose focus. But it's so very important to keep your eyes focused on what God has told you to do and spoke to you either personally or through your man or your woman of God. That's so very important. Because see what happened with Noah, God gave him a mandate to repopulate the earth. And of those three sons, the whole earth was to be repopulated. But Noah got sidetracked by being a husbandman and building a garden, raising some grapes, and became drunk or inebriated from the byproduct of his anointing. It says he just didn't get, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It says over a period of time, you know, during that process, he lost focus. From what God called him to do, and got drunk and became uncovered, not in the world, but in his tent or in the church. You can actually become uncovered. And let me just kind of give an illustration of what covered means. When you're covered, that means that just like a covering protects you from the cold, spiritually, a covering, when God puts you in a ministry or under a pastor or a local church, that covering is a protection for you. It protects you from the onslaught of the enemy that's trying to take you out because you're on an assignment from God. You know, it could protect you from all kinds of disease. It could protect you from calamity on the interstate. It'll protect your children. You know, everything that pertains to you, that covering will protect you. You know, I stated this, last semester. You know, when the flood came back in August, my whole subdivision was flooded. Everybody around me had feet of water. I only had inches. You know. And God supernaturally restored us, you know, in record time. And I contribute that to the covering. There were times on my job when they fired everybody in the lab that I work in but me. You know, at the time I was under covering. Now, if I would have drifted off and got off into a side venture, you know, I don't think I would have been as I wouldn't have been covering, and I wouldn't have came out as blessed and as favored as I have been because of the covering. There's so many things I could go into illustration and an example of just by being under a covering, what that covering did and how that covering protected me, protected my family. You know, so you can, as I stated earlier, you can be uncovered even in the church by doing something that you're not ordained, you know, that God didn't equip you to do. And that's why it's so very important to stay in your realm of anointing, what God has called you to do, because that covering will protect you. I don't go out and minister anywhere without the blessing of my man of God, because that way I know I have a covering and I'm protected, because every time I open my mouth and I minister, I'm representing Word of Life Christian Center, I'm representing Apostle Thompson, and I want to make sure that I'm covered. You know, nothing I do, I do out of my own self-will or ambition for myself. I'm because when you call to serve, that place you under the mission of somebody else. When you submit, you fall under the mission of another ministry of a man of God. And the Bible says, how can you expect God to give you your own if you don't know how to submit to who God has called you to? And that's so very important. But I don't want to get off track. Noah became consumed with the byproduct of the anointing and started a sideline project or ministry when his mandate was to repopulate the earth. Anytime you have an individual who goes away from their corporate God-given mandate or assignment and anointing and becomes inebriated by the... Here we go again. Try it again. There you go. Yeah, whatever it takes. Yeah, that's my mistake. I thought I was setting it up like my iPhone, but it's different. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I know better next time. Okay, anytime you have an individual who goes away from their corporate God-given mandate and anointing, they become inebriated by the byproduct of that gift or the sideline and something that God didn't ordain. You become intoxicated or you become influenced by doing something that may seem right, but because God didn't ordain it, it's not right. You know, the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So we want to make sure that we are not consumed by doing something that the Lord's hand is not upon. You know, I'm going to give you an illustration. The reason why my phone is going off, I'm very conscious about my time. I know that when I'm given a certain amount of time to minister, I need to stay within that time frame. I know people who was given opportunities to minister for the apostle who went over 2 or 3 minutes and never ministered before him again because they didn't stick with the assignment. And it's everything is a training process. And one thing I hate to say it like this, but when I see somebody make a mistake, I make a mental note. Okay, this cannot happen to me. You know, I'm going to do everything in my power to line up in accordance with the will, the plan, and the purpose of God for my life. Because that's how you're going to be more, that's how you're going to be a blessing, and that's how God now is able to use you in a greater capacity. Because the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Anytime you become intoxicated with a sideline ministry, you lose focus and you can't see straight and do what God has called you to do. A ministry that loses focus on their God-given mandates become intoxicated like Noah did with a sideline ministry and becomes uncovered, not in their tent, as I stated earlier, but in their tent and not in the world. So you, even though that you're in the church, but if you're doing something outside of the will of God, give you an illustration. I know people who they got invitations to minister for so-and-so. And instead of getting clearance and getting permission, they just go for it and they just did it. Well, anytime you went without being sent, you went without the covering because the covering didn't know about it. Because sometimes there have been times I've called the apostle up or I got word to him that, you know, I got an invitation to do a dedication or to speak at a program or something. And I never got a call back. So immediately that let me know that's a no. You know, and if I don't get a response in 2 or 3 days or however many times and I don't hear nothing back, I call that, you know, person or that group. I'm sorry, but I can't do it, you know. And there were times when I would go to ask about it and I didn't get a piece about it in my spirit. And I called them back and said, no, I can't do it. You know, because you want to stay focused on your God-given assignment. You are more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. And it's so very important. You know, if Noah would have just stayed on track, he would have never got uncovered. But we're going to look at some other aspects of this also. It is one thing to let the world cause you to drift off course, but it's another thing altogether to drift off course in ministry. An example. Let me give you a good example of losing focus in ministry. And I've shared this before. Probably 15 or so years ago, the apostle was doing a lot of ministering with other ministers, other prominent ministers. I will not go in detail, but you'll understand. And the Lord kind of instructed me to try to go to as many of those meetings as I can. And wherever he would go, I would try to make the meetings if I had the vacation or had the time to do so. And so it got to the point where whenever this particular minister would schedule a meeting, I just knew the apostle was going to be there. So I made plans to go. And one particular meeting, I showed up, but the apostle wasn't there. And I said, well, maybe he got caught up and did something else. I didn't understand it didn't come to clarity in my mind that God had told him to do a turn. and that he was not, you've heard him stated before, that God took him away from ministering in the big arenas and big ministers, and God told him now to just go and minister into his son's churches. Well, because I wasn't following close enough or didn't inquire, I kept going. And that caused me to drift off for a period of about maybe 6 months, almost to a year, to where now my interests started to drift in another direction. And I got uncovered and lose focus. And even when I'm sitting in church here in Word Life Christian Center, my spiritual vision is cloudy. You know, anytime you try to follow two visions, your focus is going to be blurred. You know, it should be only one vision. God will call you to one vision. Anytime there's two vision, that's division, and that'll cause you. You know, if people who cross-eyed, you can't see straight. You know, and it wasn't until I got back on track and I went and I spoke to the apostle and I told him what I had done and I submitted to him as my spiritual father, got back on track, and all of a sudden now, when I'm sitting in the service, wow, I'm the peace, the revelation now only start to come back. You know, things start to get back in focus because I'm not hearing one message over here and another message over there. You know, I'm totally focused to the assignment and the vision God's called me to, and that's so very important. I see too many young ministers get diverted, and lose focus to their God-given mandate. You know, God, he's not going to change his mind on something when he tells you to do something. He's not going to change his mind. We end up changing our minds because we're looking to think, well, the grass is greener over here. But if I wouldn't have got back in focus some 15 years ago, I probably wouldn't be standing here today because I'd have drifted off in left field somewhere instead of staying with the assignment that God's called me to do. God may have called you to work in the ministry of helps at a church or get involved in supportive ministries, you know, being an usher or working with the praise team or doing something, and he's anointed you for that, you know. But when you begin to drift and flow in an area that God hasn't ordained, but then you're going to lose focus and you're not going to be as effective. You're not going to be as effective. And I quoted this scripture earlier. It comes from Psalms 127:1. It says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. God cannot bless what he did not ordain. You know, so that's very important. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Noah. Watch what happens next. The Bible says that Ham came in the tent and he saw the nakedness of his father. He saw his father uncovered, naked and exposed in sin. When Ham saw his father uncovered, it opened the avenue for Ham also to be uncovered. Because the author says that if your father can get away with something, well, then it makes you feel like you can get away with it and it'll be all right. And then the author also states, and that's why it's so important for fathers to be a good example for their sons, you know, in the natural and especially in the spiritual, being an example. I mean, we have an excellent example in the apostle, you know, by just staying on track, by doing what he's telling you, you cannot go wrong. You know, when you come and you hear the word and you apply it, you're going to get results, you know, and we have an excellent example in him. If a father becomes uncovered, it opens the door for the son also to become uncovered in their father's nakedness, because the son is a product or a byproduct of the father. You know, so it's so very important for fathers not to become uncovered. But what Ham should have done was he should have covered his father. And when somebody gets off track, It's the son's responsibility now to back up and to protect and to cover their father and to get him restored, because, give you an illustration. a good friend of mine who was a minister, and I'm hoping to God that he's still in ministry, but he had submitted to a ministry and started serving as an associate pastor to a man of God several years ago. This particular individual ended up getting into sin. And what he would do was, because during that time frame in the early 80s, a lot of young kids were getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was a new experience. And a lot of people in tradition would pretty much ostracize you and thinking that you enter some cult. And some family members would even kick you out, because they thought you that wasn't long. Jim Jones was only a few years prior to that. And so when you started speaking in tongues and started confessing the word and doing things outside of the normal traditional things, they looked at you like something ain't right. And so what this minister would do, he would take in young ladies and people, even guys, and they would just stay at his house. And this one young lady stayed there, and by one of the things the apostle always, he's very adamant about men not being in proximity with women in close quarters, in cars, hotels, or anything like that. Matter of fact, it got to the point that if I traveled alone, I even stopped traveling, I'd always try to find me a buddy, another minister friend. If we go into a meeting, I would go with him, just as protection. I remember hearing Oral Roberts, before he would even go into a hotel room, he would have his men to check it out. Because you never want to give any place to the devil. You just don't want to give any place to the devil. Because Satan, he's busy and he's going to do anything he can to try to discredit you and to discredit the ministry. But getting back to my friend, the pastor fell, and that was he was under him, under his leadership. And instead of helping to restore him, he ended up leaving the church, and I don't know what words were exchanged, but God called him there, and now he's upset, and so when he leaves, other members leave, and so now he starts the church, things start to grow and get really, God's really blessing, and lo and behold, we go to a program that he's having up in his hometown, and when we get there, he's telling us about how he had to take a few ladies into his house because their parents kicked them out, and it's kind of like deja vu, and we sat down, we talked with him, to watch yourself, be careful. We don't think this is a good idea. Oh, I'll be fine. And sure enough, the same sex sin that his father fell into because he didn't cover his father, the same thing eventually years later rolled over onto him. And there's story after story of these things that I've seen happen. And that's why it says here that if a father becomes uncovered, it opens the door for the son also to become uncovered in the father's nakedness, because the son is a byproduct of the father. That is why it's so important for fathers to act right and to behave right, because you are teaching the sons and daughters how to behave and to conduct themselves. You lead by example. If you want to know what the father is doing, watch what the sons are doing. And that'll give you a good idea what type of father that they're under. Remember, it does matter. Listen to this. It does matter who you associate with, what covering that you're under. Who is your spiritual father? You are, remember that expression, a chip off the block? And you actually have the same DNA as your spiritual father or your pastor. And so, and that's why covering who covers you and who's your covering does make a difference. It does matter who you are associated with, who you're connected with as a spiritual covering, because you will have the same spiritual DNA as your father. I'm very similar to my natural dad. He was a provider for our family. He always stayed home most of the time. And he always exposed me as a kid to new things, taking me to places I'd never been before. And as I grew up and had the opportunity, I did the same thing for my kids and tried to provide the same conference and take it to another level than what he did, because that was the example that was set before me. You know, I know in most cases, families where the father and the mother might have had a particular occupation. Most, in a lot of instances, the kids took on that same or similar occupation because that's what they were exposed to. You know, my wife is an engineer. My daughter is an engineer. You know, I used to enjoy video and photography. My son, he's majoring in a major where he's into video and photography. You know, why? Because that same DNA, even in the natural, you know, if you do a good job, case in point, Dr. Montrell, Dr. Leroy Jr., apostle, case in point, you know, when a man and a family or a husband and a wife are good examples of their children, they're going to want to mold themselves after those examples because that's what they see before them. And that's the way it should be, because what you're doing now, you're carrying on a legacy. You're carrying on, and you're going to take what they started and bring it to another level. And that's the way it should be. But so often you have kids get sidetracked. You know, daddy started a business and the business is doing well and he's trying to get Junior here to get involved, but Junior being a knucklehead, he wanted to do something else. And so now, you know, all the energy and all the effort that his father did, it dies when he dies because Junior wasn't in position because he got sidetracked to pass that thing on. So that's something you don't want to have happen to you. Let me move on. Okay, let's look at Ham now. Ham, who was the father of Canaan, came in and saw his father's nakedness and went outside the tent and told his two brothers. Now, the way the author puts it, the Bible just said that he told them, but the author says it's implied that he told them and he did it in a facetious and not a dishonorable way. You know, I saw, you know, daddy in the bed naked. You know, he was, you know, drunk and you know, you should have seen it. You know, instead of just keeping it quiet, just closing the door, getting cover, covering it up, and, you know, let him sleep it off, protecting his dad, making sure nobody else see it, you know, standing at the door and say, no, my dad is resting, leave him alone. I'm you know, being a protection, you know, for his father. A good example of that, we'll get to this next example in the next couple of weeks, but I won't touch it now because it's a whole chapter. But what happens is that he did it in a facetious and a kind of a cynical type way, and he dishonored his father. But the two brothers, it says here, it says that they took cover and they went backwards. And they went into the room not seeing their father's nakedness, and they covered their father's nakedness. And in doing so, the Bible says that they were blessed. They were enlarged, you know, because instead of operating in the same dishonor as Ham did, they now honored their father by covering up the nakedness of their father. And here you see the example of dishonor and honor, you know, of serving properly and not serving properly, you know, and that's so very important. So then the sons must now take their gift and their anointing and back up and cover and provide a covering for the father. And in doing so, they saved their father, but they also saved themselves. By providing that covering, not only are they saving their father, but they're also saving themselves, because, you know, as I stated earlier, as the father go, so the son go, you know, and that's so very important. When the father becomes uncovered, the son must now still honor their father by using their anointing and their gift to cover their father's nakedness. I remember one instance when the apostle was ministering to a young lady at the altar, and as he was ministering to her, She began to look at him in a very disrespectful, rolling her eyes at him. And he said, you know, young lady, you know, don't, you know, why are you looking at me like this? You know, that's disrespectful. You know, a father will know when they're disrespected. You know, a parent will know when their children are disrespectful. And you don't even have to open up your mouth. You know, just by your actions, you know when your children, your natural children, have disrespected and dishonored you. You know, but at the same token, a father will know when the children honor them and respect them. You know, by taking care of their needs. I spoke to my mother today. I called her. She's 83 years old. She had wanted to go to Houston this weekend for a wedding of her twin sister's the daughter had was getting married, and so I told her I would take her. And when in talking with her, she said, "Son," she says, "I would love to go," she says, "but I'm getting over a cold and I'm not feeling well, and don't worry about coming and pick me up. You know, I'll just, you know, send a card, send some flowers." And I said, "I tell you what," I said, I'm off Friday. I'm going to come and spend the day with you." And she said, "Sure, you can come on by. I would love to have you." One of the things my natural father always did was I watched him spend time with his mother, taking trips. I'm talking, she lived in North Louisiana, a little town, Winfield, which is about a 3.5. Back then, it was like a 4-hour drive before the interstate, before 49, 3.5-hour drive. But every month, once a month, sometimes twice a month, he would go and visit and just sit out on the porch, drink coffee, and spend time. And whatever she needed to be done, you know, when I was a kid, they had an outhouse, okay? He made sure that her bathroom now was in the house and not out the house, building a bathroom, putting it on the house, adding an addition to her kitchen, giving her more room, you know, putting an air conditioner in the house when they didn't have it, you know, honor it. And by seeing that example, now I'm obligated. You know, my dad's went home to be with the Lord. My mom's still alive. You know, I told my mother, said, "Wherever you want to go, any relative that you want to visit, you know, just give me a call. I'll make whatever plans I need to make to help you get there." You know, and so that's why she'd call me about the wedding. You know, but she when I was calling today to kind of get, you know, a little bit more information so I know we can get there on time. He said, "Don't, no, I decided I'm still trying to get over this thing, so don't even come. But I'ma still go, you know, honor." And you see, what happens then, all of a sudden now, the blessing that's on their life comes on yours. The longevity or the love or the compassion or whatever God has graced them with, because you honor them. Okay, Elisha and Elisha, because Elijah honored Elisha and followed him and served him and poured water on Elisha's hands and waited upon him, he received everything Elijah had plus the double. You know, and so that works in the natural, and that also works in the spiritual. So whoever you're submitted to, whatever man or woman of God that you're submitted to, when you honor them properly like that, you know, what they have on them will get transferred to you as you submit and honor properly. And it's not just honoring a couple of years, you know, it's honoring for a lifetime. You know, God will call you to a ministry. I always tell people, you know, there's a particular brook that God calls you to that he's going to nourish you and provide for you for. And once you find that brook, when I say that brook, a brook is a place of nourishment, running water. Well, you know, the water is also symbolic of the word, you know, the washing of the water of the word. When God calls you to a ministry and he places you under a man of God, well, that brook, that water, that nourishment that's coming from that well is going to supply and meet all of your needs. You know, I'm a living example of that. You know, God has blessed me, blessed my wife, blessed my family. You know, we want for no good thing. Why? Because, you know, we stay connected to the brook, to the a man of God, to the apostle that God's called us to, you know, and continually honor whatever we can do to honor, to serve. And that's so very important. Let me move on. Noah's other two sons, after hearing about their father's nakedness, Shem and Japheth, came backwards with their covering to cover their father's nakedness. They honored their father by covering up him when he was exposed and restoring him, okay? What happens next? When Noah woke up, he knew what Ham had done, okay? When Noah woke up, he finds out that his son sowed a seed of dishonor. Noah then curses not the man, he curses his lineage, okay? Ham was the father of Cana. It says in Genesis that he says here, Genesis 9:24, and Noah woke from his wine and knew what the younger son had done unto him. And he cursed Cana, a servant of servants shall you be unto your brethren. So his lineage, the generations, the children and the children's children of Ham were cursed because of the seed of dishonor that was sown, okay? Sowing the seed of dishonor as Ham did can affect the generations after you, your children and your children's children. It will cut off the generational blessing of your lineage, you know? So you don't want to sow a seed of dishonor, you know? When a man dishonors his natural father, it's almost like heaping coals of fire upon his head, because when somebody brings you into the world, you want to honor them. You know, you want to honor them, you know, so that you can be enlarged, you know, so that your tent could expand and be enlarged. But when you dishonor them, you're the favor that you would have had, you no longer have anymore, you know. Instead of walking in honor, you walk in shame. It can affect you physically. It can affect you mentally. It can shorten your life when you walk in dishonor and sow the seed of dishonor. The word servant here, when it said that that Cain was going to be, Ham was going to be a servant of servant, or Cana, his lineage was going to be a servant of servants, means that you're going to be a slave. A servant works for wages. A slave works for nothing. A slave works harder than a servant. And there's no remuneration. There's no wages. So when you sow the seed of dishonor, you work hard for the money, but you don't get paid for it because you've dishonored. Because of the seed of dishonor, the generations will work very hard, and they will not get paid for it. The ministry, your ministry will not develop. People who dishonor their spiritual father and leave and disconnect and speak ill of their spiritual father that God connected them to, their ministries cannot blossom. Their ministries will die on the vine, because God cannot bless dishonor. When God has called you and connected you with somebody, and you speak ill of that covering. See, the servant or the son is never greater than the father, because the blessing always comes down. And it's so very important that you position yourself properly so that what's on your man of God can come on you as you honor properly. And that's so very important. And many people don't realize that. They think, well, I can just go and do what I want to do and start my own ministry. It's not going to flourish, because you know your blessing is going to be hinged on your obedience to serve who God has put you under. It says here, he said of Cana that he should be a servant, but he said of the other two brothers, Japheth and Shem, because thou showed honor by providing their gift and covering the nakedness of their father, he said, you shall be enlarged. You shall be blessed. You should be empowered to prosper. You're going to walk in favor. So the principle here is people who show honor, they're going to grow and they're going to be enlarged. Those who show dishonor, they're going to become a slave to the system. You know, their ministries will not flourish properly. Walking in dishonor is a damnable thing. And you the one that the Bible says that the curse costly shall not come. So there's always a reason why things are not working well in people's lives. It's something that you did or said or disrespect or dishonor that's why it's so very important that if you know in times past you might have disrespected your natural father or your natural mother, go and get it right. And even if they're deceased, you know, if they have a brother or a sister or an aunt or somebody that you can show honor to in their family, I mean, basically that's what David did when he went and found Mephibosheth. You know, it's honoring. He was honoring, you know, just constantly honoring Saul's lineage, you know, because that's a source of blessing. You know, I can't underemphasize it enough. You know, when you honor properly, you're going to be enlarged. You know, you're going to flourish. You're setting up success for your children and your children's children. Setting up success for your children and your children's children. I can go into all kind of examples of how, even with my son, there was a time when he was a little rebellious, and I saw a lot of things not going well in his life. You know, constantly getting into accidents, you know, looking for a job, but couldn't find a job. And just, he was at that age where he was about 17, 18 years old. He was a little rebellious and, you know, kind of got that idea that he was a man too. And I didn't have to tell him what to do. But then all of a sudden I saw a turn in his life where he began to respect and to honor more. And without me even saying or doing anything, all of a sudden, things start to change in his life. You know, blessings start to manifest themselves in his life. You know, his demeanor changed. You know, God blessed him with jobs and opportunities, and things start opening up for him just because now he's learning how to sow the seed of honor properly. You know, there's automatic spiritual retribution. In other words, you're gonna reap the reward of honor in this life. It's not, you know, it's not that you have to wait till heaven. No, it's gonna return unto you speedily. You know, you wanna honor your man and your woman of God. And when you see them in error, you cover, you support them, you nurture them back to health spiritually, you know, by being that support for them, you know. Thank God that'll never happen. But if in the event that it does, you don't just walk away. You know, my name will always be Calhoun. I can't erase that. You know, so you know, I'm obligated to uphold and to honor the legacy of my dad and his father. You know, and the things that I learned from him, you know, as I was stating, you know, towards my mom or even, you know, brothers and sisters, because it's the right thing to do. And when you do that, God will bless and honor you. Amen. All right. We're going to continue on next, but just continue reading in your book in those areas. And we're going to begin to talk about other areas where other men and women of God showed honor, and those that show dishonor, and the consequences are the blessings that came on their lives because of the seeds that they're sown. Amen? Sir. Yeah. Thank you.